This is the Lattice Training Podcast, where we bring you the best in climbing performance and training from the world's elite athletes, thought leaders, and coaches.
Hello, and welcome to the Lattice Training Podcast. Today we are chatting to Nate Williams. Nate is currently in Vegas trying Return of the Sleepwalker. This was a boulder problem, a V17 put up by Daniel Woods, and he's been projecting this boulder for, I suppose, a couple years now. It was back in 2021 when he did the stand sleepwalker, and has now been putting in time and getting really close, actually, ending the sit start. So we're going to talk a lot about the difficulties of this boulder, a little bit about his training for it, and also, interestingly, Nate's kind of introduction to climbing was quite a cool one. It was a very steep learning curve, and had a little bit of inspiration and mentorship by Jimmy Webb. So yeah, it was really cool to get into his past as well. Let's get into it. So Nate, let me just set the scene quickly. You're in Vegas right now, and you're projecting Return of the Sleepwalker, and actually you've got some good weather. So we're currently, I think, also maybe to set the time frame, you're projecting this with Will Bosey, who's putting in some sessions together on Return of Sleepwalker. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're going to dive into this boulder in particular, but I thought it would be good to start at the beginning and just ask, like, how long you've been climbing, how you got into climbing.
Yeah. You just want me to start? Let's see, I've been climbing for around 10 years, and I got into it like in a pretty cliche way. Like, I think one of my friends had a birthday party at the gym, and then I just kind of like begged my parents to just like take me back, and then they like eventually did, and then I like loved it even more. And then one summer, like, kind of as I was getting into it, like one summer, I think I climbed just every single day, like the whole summer. Just like no rest days. Like, the gym was on, like, my parents' house is on a mountain, and like the gym was at the foot. So you had to pass the climbing gym to go, like, basically to go anywhere. Cause there's like you kind of have to leave the mountain to, like, you know, go to the store, or, like, do whatever. So we had to pass the gym, and like, so like after school, you know, they'd like take me there, and then like, yeah, they it was kind of like a free, like, daycare center almost. Like, they didn't, like, they could kind of take me there, and I'd climb for however long, and then they'd like pick me up. It was, like, really easy to get me there, I guess. And then I eventually got asked to, like, join the climbing team there, and it, like, was a super small team. It was, like, me and, like, two other kids. So I started off, I guess, like, competing.
Just really early into your climbing as well?
Yeah, this is, like, my first... Yeah, just like a few months.
A
few months in.
Right in the deep end.
Yeah. I did well pretty quickly. I have this theory that I started at like the very perfect, like the most perfect age, because like my growth plates were all developed, but like I was still like young enough to where I could like, you know, like my tendons could develop really fast as well. Because yeah, I started when I was like right about to turn 15. I have an August birthday, and I started like at the beginning of the summer and climbed like, you know, like 3 or 4 months, and then turned 15. So started off as like a youth competitor. And I'm like pretty fortunate with my climbing. So my coach at the time was dating Jimmy Webb. I kind of grew up climbing with Jimmy Webb. He was like climber mentor to me, and they actually, so like, they took me to Rocklands that like following summer. And that's when I climbed my first 7C+. And then like the summer after that is when I climbed my first 8.
Wow. And that was Rocklands as well.
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's an amazing entry to climbing.
I know.
Like, firstly, that you kind of get hooked, obviously, which I think a lot of people will relate to. It definitely took me a little bit longer to like want to do it every single day. That's cool. Yeah. And so Jimmy Webb was a bit of a mentor.
Yes.
That's obviously maybe more of an outdoor climbing scene. Is that what drew you into Rocklands trips and things?
I think so. I kind of was, Jimmy, I think back then he was competing some as well. Okay. Like he was doing like, you know, like the Open Nationals here in like the US, which isn't that cool of an event now, but it used to be like super awesome. And he was doing like some other competitions as well. So I was kind of just like, I think I was just trying to do like kind of whatever he like, because he was like competing and climbing, like he was doing them both, and so I was kind of doing them both as well. And like, you know, being on the climbing team, like they took us climbing outside, and like I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is like there's actually like phenomenal climbing there as well. So I like, you know, grew up super close to like phenomenal outdoor climbing, like climbing with one of the best like boulders in the world, like at like a pretty good gym for, you know, getting strong quickly. Like it was kind of like an old school like training dungeon gym, like the slabbiest wall I think was like 30 degrees overhung. So like didn't really get much slab training, but I feel like it was like an environment for like getting strong quickly, which I think helped quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel like you get a lot of good climbers come out of these gyms which are not flashy at all. They kind of just put you in the, and maybe it's a certain mindset you have in those gyms that when you go there, you're there to train almost. Not to have fun, as it were. Nice. What do you still compete today? And is that something you've stepped away from?
It's something I've stepped away from. I think I haven't done a competition in like 4 years or so. The last competition I did was like, it's called the So Ill Showdown. It's like at the Climb So Ill gym in St. Louis, Illinois. And that was pretty fun. I definitely would like to do another comp soon, just to kind of like, just for fun, to just kind of see, just to get like, you know, smacked and just see kind of how it is, but we'll see.
See what the standard is today.
Exactly.
So would you say your motivations are now more for outdoor climbing, or is it about the projects which have pulled you away? Like, is it your time?
I think I'm mostly drawn to like stuff that's just like absolutely at my limit and more of like the unknown of what I can do, which I feel like you can't really find in competitions, you know, because you only get like, you know, a few minutes to try and climb something. So it's not like, you know, like obviously like all of those competitors could do like a way harder climb, you know, if they have like the time to do it. And that's kind of what I like about climbing. And that's why I'm like drawn to projecting, especially like something this hard, because like, you know, for a first, like, I don't know, I guess my first season trying it, I was like, I probably can do this climb, but like, I'm not actually like 100% sure that I can do it. And that's what like makes it really like a fun process, is because you're just kind of like, it's like unknown if you can do it or not, which I think that's what I'm mostly drawn to.
Yeah, okay. It's the projecting then, isn't it? It's like putting in an extended period of time in something. Yeah, for sure. And so like, what kind of, that brings us on to Sleepwalker, or at least the sit, which is what you're working on now. But you sent Sleepwalker, is it last year? So when did you come across this as a boulder?
So I sent Sleepwalker December of 2020, I think. Yeah, December of 2020.
Okay.
And then, so like at that time, like the sit really wasn't even a project. It was after I like went back home. Then, like a month later after I got home, Daniel sent me like a picture of like, you know, the set holds all chalked up and stuff. And he was like, yo, this thing's like crazy. It's like V14 into Sleepwalker. It's like going to be so mega. And I was like, wow, that sounds like way too hard. Like, and I just like, even then, like I had no like real intention of trying it. But then like I moved to Salt Lake like the following season, so I was a lot closer to Red Rocks. And I was like, I'll go try it. I'll see how it is. And then like, I didn't do super well my first session on it, but I was like, wow, this is like really fun. And it's like an excuse to climb on Sleepwalker again. And I had such a good experience doing Sleepwalker. And then, eventually started like, you know, being able to do the sit boulder. And I was like, oh, wow, like I got to keep trying it. Like I technically can do it because I can do the stand and the sit boulder. So, but then like I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
So you saw pictures of it when Daniel was just conceiving of this as a boulder. Does that mean you were trying it before Daniel had sent it as well?
So,
okay.
So I wasn't, like I had, like I did the stand start and I had to go back home to Tennessee. And then like after I left, that's when like the sit start became like a project. And then like, you know, like the next few months, Daniel eventually climbed it. And then it was like the season after when I started trying it.
So what is it about Sleepwalker that keeps you going back? Because you've been, I suppose, trying it for a full 2 seasons now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, more if you count, you know, the season I did the stand start, but,
right.
Okay. It's just extremely enjoyable to climb on. Like, it doesn't mess your skin up. Like, your body fails before your skin does. So, like, every time you climb on it, you feel like you're getting, like, a pretty good workout. And it's, just so physical. And, like, it's, at least in the beginning, like, I feel like for anyone, the progress is going to be, like, quite linear, which is, you know, always fun to see, like, that progression. And then, like, I feel like it only, at least for me, it only becomes, like, more of, like, kind of up and down once you start getting close, because then, like, the conditions matter a lot more and stuff, and it's, like, very inconsistent conditions. But, yeah, I just like, the micro-progress and, like, feeling stronger on it. That's what kind of, like, makes it really fun to, like, go back and try more. It's kind of like you just kind of test yourself on it.
It sounds like you found something that's properly at your limit then. I remember having a conversation with Johnny Kidd, one of the coaches here, and he basically says, at least this is his perception of it, is that it's not a true project unless you've had backwards progress. So you've had a session where you basically did worse on it. It sounds like you've had, if the beginning is very linear, you're now in that backwards progress phase, which is cool. Yeah. So that sounds like you're truly finding your limit on this. What was the process with doing the stand start then? Was that a different process?
It was super different. My tactics were like terrible too. Like, I think I did it in 10 sessions, but I was trying it 2 days in a row, one rest day. And like my fifth cycle of that, like second day on trying it is when I did it. Makes no sense. And then like after doing it, I was like, oh wow, like I know how to project climbs now. Like, and so like, you know, I tried to like use that kind of method to do the sit, and like it just doesn't work. Like trying something that hard 2 days in a row and then only one rest day and then 2 days in a row again is just like, that's just a recipe for disaster. So I don't know how that worked with the stand start, but the stand start progress was all linear.
Can you break down because it's kind of a boulder of two halves now, isn't it?
Yes.
At least if we include the sit into it. Can you break down how the two fit together and kind of the difficulty of those two halves for you as well?
Sure. So I think, it's kind of, or at least it was the talk, like a few weeks ago, it was the talk of the town, you know, like the grade of Sleepwalker.
This is with Will sending the stand.
I agree that I think it's closer to 8C than 8C plus if you're tall enough to reach the crimp from the low underclimb. Which I'm tall enough to do, Will's tall enough to do, like, that's the way Daniel climbed it as well. I think 8C is, like, very fair. And then the sit boulder, I think, is closer to 8B plus for me. Daniel thought it was 8B, but I don't know, I just feel like 8B in that style, I do pretty quickly, and I think my first season trying the, like, return on Sleepwalker, like, I had, you know, been able to like repeat the stand a few times before I could even climb into the stand. And like the moves, the individual moves on the low boulder are quite a bit harder than any moves on Sleepwalker. And then like, you know, eventually you get to where all the moves are kind of like, you know, pretty easy to do, but then doing like just three in a row is super hard. Cause they build like every move is really hard. There's no like just free move, like, so like it's on you the entire time, and that's what makes it so hard.
I suppose that brings friction into play a lot as well. Like, there's a lot of moves and you definitely can't chalk up.
And that's why, like, you know, I guess it's not on the podcast, but back what we were talking about earlier is like how that move to the sloper is probably, you know, like for me it's maybe the one of the easiest moves on the whole boulder in isolation, because you can like really control the friction, and you can like with perfect friction, that move's not very hard, but from the sit, you are never going to have perfect friction. And without perfect friction, that move like is so difficult to do. You just have to be like a lot stronger than the move, to do it.
So I suppose it's not only that you're going to be really tired, but you also have climbed several moves and not had a chance to chalk up. So friction's pretty poor on that then.
Yeah. But I was talking about it with my roommate Zach, who's going to Bishop today. There needs to be like a climbing term for it, and like I've just been calling it friction control, because like it's just like such a variable in hard bouldering. Like I feel like at this point, like the actual like muscle fatigue and like endurance stuff like that the low boulder should add isn't really affecting me anymore. It's just like when I arrive at the Red Point crux, it's just like I'm just not as sticky as I am when I'm doing it in isolation, and that's what's making it so difficult. And like, yeah,
okay,
I've
so
just been calling it friction control.
Is this something you can influence? Have you got any? Yeah, no, I like it. But you can't chalk up. How are you trying to work this in?
So it's a lot about really finding like the sweet spot for the skin, like when you pull on, because you know if your skin's too warm, you're just gonna be sweaty, and I'm like a pretty sweaty climber myself. But you know, if you get your hands like too cold, you're just gonna be numb and have no chance. So it's like an extremely difficult balance to find, and I've been like, really, I feel like I still haven't quite figured it out. And then, you know, it's like different day to day, because, you know, it's not always going to be the same weather up there. So like, that's been really difficult for me to figure out. I've been using liquid chalk, like just a tiny amount on my finger, like so I can like get my hands pretty warm. But if I just use a little bit of liquid chalk just on my pads, it like dries them up enough right before I pull on. I feel like that's been working pretty well. But yeah, it's just like the crux undercling, and then like the intermediate pinch you grab, like the rock is super super glassy, so if you're, you know, if your skin's cold and numb, like when you arrive there, you just can't, like it's just it's all you pulling, but you can't, like there's like no stick at all. But like, and that's what makes like the sit start so so hard. But even like on the stand start, like the crux undercling, it's the second hold you grab, so you really have a lot more like friction control like when just doing the stand. Like, because, you know, you can, like, lick your fingers or, like, use a fan, use a heater, you know, do whatever. And you just, like, arrive there a lot faster. Whereas a sit, you know, you've done, like, you know, like, 9 or 10 moves before getting there. So you kind of lose that ability to control, like, how the holds are going to feel. And that's what makes it, that's for me is, like, the crux of Return of the Sleepwalker, is just having good friction when you arrive at the sloper move. Mm. Hopefully that wasn't
too
Have
you struggled confusing. With conditions, like, over the...
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah,
so the big problem with Sleepwalker, especially, so like we just had a ton of rain, right? The big problem with Sleepwalker is the boulder's in a wash. So if it rains a ton, it like will collect, you know, higher up in the canyon, and it just runs right under Sleepwalker. So it makes the whole area feel like super humid, you know, which for like me as a sweaty climber, Will seems pretty like sweaty as well. So it's been difficult. Like yesterday was really difficult. And yeah, it just makes it like really hard. Cause like when it's super humid, you know, you have to have your hands be even like colder to be dry. And so like yesterday I was like numbing out every try, but I had, you know, just to get through the bottom boulder, I had to have like dry skin. So it makes it really difficult. Like the best conditions for me are when it's warmer and dry. And yesterday was cold and humid, so.
Okay, yeah. Not ideal. You're kind of like talking about building friction or friction control, and both of you have similar skin conditions in that sense.
Yep.
But what's quite cool is you're out there with Will right now working on it. Are you guys sharing a lot of the beta on the movement? And is there anything you've learned from each other?
I feel like... our beta is actually pretty different. He does kind of like a more technical, faster way to climb the bottom. Where he like does the first two moves the same, but then he gets this like kind of bad heel toe cam. And then instead of going to the start hold of Sleepwalker as a Gaston, he just goes to it as an undercling, and it's like super intense on your wrist, and you have to be like super mobile in your wrist for it to work. But it works super well for him, and it's, like, super, super scrunchy. I've kind of played with it, like, a little bit, but not... I haven't really given it a real chance. I just kind of feel like I'm a little too big for that beta, and, like, the shoulder wave for me doesn't feel super hard, but it's not quite as fast as his beta. But we pretty much do the stand start the exact same way. And I feel like I'm pretty helpful to him, but I feel like my beta's, you know, like mostly already figured out. But he just makes like his beta for the bottom look so good that I'm like, it's kind of bugging me that I maybe should have been trying it his way. I don't know.
Have you tried it his way? And like, because you said it is, you have to have quite mobile wrists for it.
Yeah, I've played around on it, and I definitely think I could do it. I just have like my way so dialed, and like, I mean, I've gotten like to the crimp with my beta, so like it will work. So it's just like, I don't know. It just seems like I shouldn't change anything because I was so close.
Yeah, I've speaking to T, he's out there as well with you at the minute, yeah. And she was saying you're looking really close on it. Where are you up to now? What's your high point on the boulder?
So I've gotten to like the last right-hand crimp, like past the sloper. And I just wasn't able to
past
get
the
in
sloper.
It.
Okay.
The sloper is, it's, yeah, yeah. Oh, like past the sloper, or are you asking how is the sloper?
Oh, as in you're past the sloper?
Yeah.
This is kind of the last, the red point crux.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just couldn't really get into the crimp well enough to, like, build my feet up and try and match. And I also remember just, I was freaking out because the problem was once you stick the sloper and you're on the undercling, it's a very comfortable position. Like, it's comfortable enough to where you can, like, think. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I could maybe do it. And so, like, I kind of just freaked out. I kind of knew that was going to happen my first time picking the sloper.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that there's like every move after the sloper is then also the next red point crux?
Probably so. It really just isn't over until you like have the jug. So yeah, you definitely could fall kind of anywhere.
Have you done any training specifically for Return to Sleepwalk? Because I know you're working with Billy at the minute as well.
Yeah, we're doing lots of power endurance training, and then I was doing lots of like weighted one arm hangs to kind of like build like the shoulder and the lat, because I feel like it's a hot take, but I feel like Sleepwalker is really not that bicep-y. It's more like in your shoulder and lats, because I kind of like take the undercling with like my arm in like a 120 degree position instead of like a 90, and maybe that's because I just have weak biceps and I choose to put it in my shoulder. But yeah, that was really helpful. And then like I had just like a circuit project on the tension board that I kind of would just try, and then I was doing lots of like I would try and do like a V11 or 12 three times in a row on the kilter board at like steep, and that seemed to be super helpful as well. So just kind of like, you know, not crazy specific to it, but like I wasn't like training on like a replica or anything, but like kind of like hitting the same systems used.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it's all about the power endurance for this boulder now, because how many moves is it in total?
For me, it's 14 moves, but like all hard moves.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely unrelenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So on the form of training, can you give us, like, what's your favorite training exercise? Or like one thing you think everyone should be trying?
I'm a huge fan of one-arm hangs because it, like, you know, it's not only beneficial for your fingers, but I really think it helps like with the shoulder stability strength and like your lats. Because, like, I feel like, you know, I've been training one-arm hangs for so long, I feel like I can just get a hold and, like, pull up, and then I can, like, keep all this still. And, like, it makes my body not move when I, like, you know, reach for, like, the next hold. And, like, I know it's doing one-arm hangs on, like, an edge is, like, a pretty advanced, like, training thing. But, like, I think you'd kind of get the same effect on the shoulder and lat if you were just, like, hanging on a jug. And I think that's something, like, people should do more. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like the block pull-ups, because I feel like they neglect like the shoulder, and I feel like you like use your shoulder so much in climbing, and like, it's, you know, it's like really important to have healthy shoulders in climbing, because like, you know, like I feel like a lot of people have shoulder problems, I guess. But yeah, I feel like that's been like the most helpful thing.
Yeah, that's fair. In climbing. Okay, yeah. So do you think there's what value in progressing from just like a jug to a large edge, just like working on those one arm hangs, that kind of coordination between the fingers and the shoulder?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, there you go. Hot take.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask about motivations outside of Sleepwalker. Is there anything else you've got your eyes set on, or are you absolutely all in on this one?
I mean, right now I'm I'm all in on this one until I can do it. And like, you know, after falling after the sloper, I'm like certain I can do it. I don't know when. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I do it this season. We'll see. I feel like I'd have to really mess up to not do it this season, but it is possible. But after I do it, there is this boulder in Little Cottonwood Canyon, which is, you know, right up like next to Salt Lake City, called Grand Illusion, that I'll try in the spring. And then hopefully next climbing season, I can do a Switzerland trip and I'd go to try Alphen. But yeah,
so okay. Just kind of, I guess, like, Will's been getting you psyched on it.
Yeah. Oh man, it just looks like really fun to climb on. I think that's what, like, that's why I like trying Return of the Sleepwalker so much. It's just like, you know, like, I just love, it's just so enjoyable to just go like have a session up there. It's like so much fun. And that, I feel like Alphen seems like a kind of similar experience. So it seems like a really good time to just climb on it.
Yeah. I think the take on, I suppose, both these projects are that, like, although I think you're having trouble with conditions, makes a lot of sense for sloper, but like, you're still in a desert, and it, yep, apart from maybe the last couple of weeks, like, it doesn't rain that much. Conditions are quite stable. All the holds are quite skin friendly. Like, you can have it. You can have a good session on it, can't you? Without tearing through a tip or something after like two moves.
Like, you really can just climb all day on it, which is what I like to do. And it seems like you can do that on Alphen as well. And like, you can definitely do that on Grand Illusion too. And I think that's what I like so much about like those types of boulders. I just like, I don't know, I feel like it kind of just, it just makes it feel like you're getting a good like workout, and you don't have to be like quite so tactical. You can just kind of like throw yourself at it, which I like that's what I enjoy doing. I like to just like throw myself at a boulder.
Yeah. What's your plan now for the rest of the season?
I'm kind of just, I'm probably gonna stay here for like another week, and then I think, you know, because like I'm camping this time around, so it's like a little harder to stay in Las Vegas as long. So I'm thinking, you know, depending how it goes, if I feel like nail-bitingly close, I'll just stick it out. But I'm planning on having like 3 or 4 more sessions on it, then heading back to Salt Lake for a few days, and then when I come back out after that, I'll be able to stay with my friend that lives here again, and then I'll probably just, you know, do pretty long trip again, and hopefully no more rain. It looks good for the foreseeable future, though. So that rain was a real bummer.
What's the climbing season in Vegas, in Red Rocks?
So I think it's
like, is there a good time?
Yeah, it's kind of like in Black Velvet Canyon, which is where Sleepwalker is. Like, it's just like it gets no sun, so it stays super cold. So like, it's super long climbing season specific to that canyon, though. Like, you can climb on it in it from like late October to early April, you know. Like, it's arguably it's arguably too cold in January, but you know, this January, at least at the beginning, it was like fine. But so like the other areas here, like Craft is a really popular zone. It's like gets a ton of sun, it's not as high elevation, so that place is more of like only winter crag. But yeah, Sleepwalker specifically, you can climb on for quite a long time, which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm so jealous. They're jealous of good conditions.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think maybe there's a good place to wrap up for now. I know it's been quite a short chat, but I think maybe we'll catch up at some point when
we'll
talk about the sand. Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, got to go home. Wife's got baby at home, and I said I'll be home for a summer.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. But thank you so much for coming on again, Nate. I know we've had our difficulties, but it's been really good to get you back on. I was going to say, it might be cool. I don't know how it will work, but we could do like a three-way podcast while he's still out there. We could all kind of like chat through climbing and things, and that might be quite cool.
That sounds like a ton of fun. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll reach out to Will, see if he wants to just have a catch up one evening. We can chat bouldering, chat projects. Yeah.
That sounds like a ton of fun.
Nice one. Thank you again for coming on, and I'll be in touch.
Yeah. No problem. All right. Have a good one.